Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
As we continue in here in our teaching series, The Power of Prayer, we're going to face the difficult and important reality that we might be angering God without even knowing it. That we might be angering God without even knowing it. Throughout the prayer of Psalm 139, we see the basic truth that we don't know ourselves as well as we think we do. We don't know ourselves as well as we think. We don't know our hearts, our minds, or even our sin as well as we often think we do. In Psalm 139, David is very specifically praying to the Lord that the Lord would see if there was any offensive way in him. Lord, see if there's any offensive way in me. You might paraphrase that prayer to say, Lord, have a good close look at my life and point out anything that upsets you or that might offend you. That's really David's heartfelt prayer that is the basis for this entire teaching series. And I wonder today, is it a prayer that you have prayed? See if there is any offensive way in me. Coming through this psalm, David has already prayed that the Lord would search his heart, that the Lord would reveal the true condition of his mind and of his thinking, and now he turns to ask the Lord to uncover his sin. You see, David has learned that we don't always see the ways that we are offending God. We often don't perceive the attitudes, the desires, the habits, or the subtle bitterness or unforgiveness that we're hiding in our heart. And most importantly, we don't see how those things are breaking the heart of God the Father. For David, the one who wrote this psalm, this was a hard-learned lesson. You see, we know David as a mighty warrior. We know him as a great king, a faithful follower and friend of God, but Scripture also reveals another part of David's life, and that was a darker side. The man after God's own heart would go on to have multiple wives and a huge concubine, and he even would go on to sleep with another man's wife and have her husband murdered to cover his tracks. You see, desire that once lay hidden in David's heart grew to consume his life. And in this story throughout the Scriptures, we see that David learned the hard truth that hidden sin is no less deadly than sin that is out in the open. Hidden sin is no less deadly than sin that is out in the open. So how about you today? Are you willing, are you ready to invite the Lord to take a good, close look at your life? To reveal to you the things that are breaking his heart, that are offensive to him? Maybe like David, that would be an underlying presence of lust. Perhaps it's an unidentified greed or a desire for more material things that is breaking God's heart. Maybe there's an underlying prejudice in your heart, in your thinking against those who look differently or speak differently or have a different culture than you. Perhaps there's worry and fear that has a stranglehold on your heart and you don't trust God as much as you think you do. Whatever is hidden, we know that God sees it. He already knows. The question is will you invite him to show you, to reveal that to you? You see, we can either invite the Lord to have a close look, to show us, or we can leave those hidden things, those sins and desires, growing underneath the surface. What's your choice today? What's your choice? If you're just joining us, you can tell already by way of introduction that this is a very deep and personal teaching series. We're in week three of the power of prayer, and so if you haven't been able to follow along, I would invite you to go back on our website, cotnaz.org, go to Watch Listen, and you can follow along with us through this journey, through Psalm 139. Prayer, like we find here, is very vulnerable. It's a complete opening of ourselves to the Lord. And in that opening, we're allowing God to into our lives, to access places that we know, but more than that, to beyond that, to places we don't know, we're not aware of, maybe that we're not even comfortable with. But we open ourselves to Him. You see, prayer like this exposes us to the truth that we don't know ourselves, our hearts, our minds, yes, even our sin as well as we might think. And those things that we, even though we might not realize, they can still cause disruptions in our relationship with the Lord. So with this prayer, we are petitioning the Lord. We're inviting Him to uncover our dark side. Throughout this series, we've been looking at very specific petitions. We're praying and working through this idea of search me, test me, uncover my sins, and lead me. And today, we continue in verse 24 with this idea of see if there be any offensive way in me. So if you have your copy of Scripture this morning, I would invite you to turn to Psalm 139. We will be there. Text is on the screen. There's also a YouVersion event today for the Bible app users. Psalm 139, read out of the NIV. David's praying. He says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." If you were to look at some other translations of verse 24, New Living Translation has it this way: point out anything in me that offends you. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. You see, sometimes we need help knowing when we're doing something wrong. I encountered this sort of help through the advice and consultation of a Virginia State policeman one time. Oh, yeah. I was in a work truck headed to a job somewhere in Harrisonburg. I was headed north on Route 11, heading into the JMU campus where the train tracks cut diagonal across all four lanes of Route 11. Well, that day, the train had all of Route 11 blocked, and both lanes that were headed northbound where I was trying to go, there's cars there that are eight or nine deep in each lane, and I'm thinking, ain't nobody got time for this. And so I'm looking around like the train's blocking traffic. Nobody can come the other way. And so the logical thing is you pull a U-turn, right? Well, that's what I did. So I, you know, there's Central Avenue was back south of me a little bit. So I pulled a U-turn, completely innocent. So I thought. What I didn't know in those moments is that little seemingly insignificant maneuver, harmless, was actually illegal. There was this car fastly approached me with these obnoxious blue flashing lights. I don't know what the deal was. But he beckoned me to pull over, and what I learned is that what I had done in innocence was actually an improper U-turn. Improper U-turn. I had no idea. You see, I'd done this so many times. I know this morning I'm not the only person in this room that has pulled a U-ey instead of waiting for a train. Don't raise your hand. You would convict yourself. We just do it, right? It never crossed my mind that what I was about to do was illegal. But you know, even though I had a squeaky clean driving record up to that point, even though I didn't know what I was doing was wrong, I still got the ticket and had the privilege of paying the fine. You see, just because we don't know we're breaking the law, just because we don't know we're offending God, doesn't mean it's not wrong. It doesn't mean it's not wrong. It just means that we need to learn the truth of what's really going on in our hearts. What's really going on in there. And that's what David's asking for in this prayer. He's saying, Lord, if there's anything in my life, take a good close look. If there's anything in here in my mind, in my habits, in the deep recesses of my heart, if there's anything offensive to you, please point it out. If I'm doing something wrong, God, show me. Tell me the hard truth about things that are coming between us in our relationship. You see, David doesn't want these things to go unnoticed, unknown. He's inviting the Lord to take a close look. And in the original language, the word for see there is really what it sounds like. He's inviting the Lord to have a look, to perceive, to come in close and look, to even become aware, to realize. And so we see here in this petition that David knows he cannot see his own sin completely, but he can pray to the Father who sees perfectly. And that's who he's inviting. Lord, come and see. We already know through the prayer of this psalm that David has shown us that the Lord sees and knows everything about us. There's nothing hidden from him. There is no such thing as a hidden sin from God. And so the point of this prayer, the point of this petition is that David wants to become aware. David wants to know what's really going on. He wants to have the same perspective as the Lord about things in his life, even the things he is not aware of yet. And what we see David asking and inviting to be made aware of are what the NIV translates offensive ways that are in his heart. Some translations here would say wicked ways or idolatrous ways, grievous ways even. Lord, if any of that's in there, the NASB says, see if there is any hurtful way in me. Hear that relational element there? You see, the central idea is that there is the possibility, David recognizes the possibility that there could be something in his heart that is separating him from God, that is hurtful in the relationship, that is offensive to God and his holiness. And David wants to know about it. It's not enough that he might not be aware, might not discern it. He wants to know. He wants to know. And unlike me, he's not, I was trying to hide behind an excuse with that officer that day. I tried them all. Like, I didn't know it was wrong. It was illegal. There was three other people that did it before me. But it didn't matter. And we see David, he's not making any excuses. He's not shifting blame. He's coming in humility and asking the Lord to search him. And you see, I think we see this because David had learned this the hard way. Have you ever learned hard lessons? Yeah, me too. So Scripture doesn't hide David's darker side. We see it. Throughout his life, David was wildly successful in pretty much everything he did, right? As a shepherd, he was able to defend the flock against bears and lions and all the crazy things. As a warrior, he defeated every enemy. He even took down the giant Goliath with a single stone. In his relationship with the Lord, he was known as a man after God's own heart. It's David. He was chosen by God to be king of Israel, to lead his people in the way of the Lord, to defend the nation, to see them flourish, and he did all of that with excellence. With excellence. 2 Samuel 5:12 says, then David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people, Israel. We see here that David is recognizing, he knows the blessing in the hand of the Lord on his life. He knew that he was being used mightily by God in the flourishing of his people. At what seemed like the pinnacle of his life, the top of his run, if you will, what was a once hidden desire begins to come to the surface. And it begins to drive the decisions and the actions of his life. Look at the very next verse in 2 Samuel. It's verse 13. It says, after he left Hebron, David took more concubines and wives in Jerusalem, and more sons and daughters were born to him. You see, to the world around, this was a perfectly normal thing to do. Have a kingdom, get power, get wealth, acquire wives and a concubine. But to the Lord, it was a breaking of his commandment. You see, in Deuteronomy 17, all the way back in the time of Moses, God says there in chapter 17 of Deuteronomy that his kings, the kings in God's kingdom, were not to have a bunch of wives, they were not to have concubines for themselves. But yet a hidden desire had taken root in David's heart, and it was driving his life. It was driving his life. What was once hidden is now running the show. Fast forward a few years. Fast forward a little bit in the story of David. The offense against God goes unchecked. It goes unchecked, and this desire that was hidden in his heart grows out of control when he sees a pretty young lady taking a bath on the roof of her home. Her name was Bathsheba. She was married to Uriah, one of David's friends and soldiers. But you see, this desire is driving the shots now. And so David calls for this married woman, and he ends up having relations with her, and the news comes out shortly that she's pregnant. And so this act done in secrecy, this desire born in secret, is now out in the open for everyone to see. So David, he arranges, rather than to be found out, he arranges for Uriah to be killed on the battlefield to cover his tracks. What was once a small hidden desire has grown, and now this man after God's own heart has become an adulterer and a murderer. You see, sin that was once well below the surface has now enlarged to consume his life. The Lord ended up having to send the prophet Nathan to confront the mighty king because he never confessed it. He had to send a prophet to call him out. You see, David learned the hard truth that just because sin is hidden does not mean that it's not deadly. Just because it's hidden doesn't mean it's not deadly. I think by the time we get to our text, David didn't want to ever go down that road again. I think he knew he never wanted to see another Nathan come through the door of his home. And so he prayed, "Lord, see if there is any offensive way in me, below the surface, in the recesses of my life. See if it's there. Lord, come and take a close look. Reveal to me anything in my life, no matter how small, no matter how insignificant I might deem it. But Lord, if it's offensive to you, I want to know it. Will you show me? Will you show me?" As I've thought about David's story, about this idea of hidden desire, hidden sin growing to consume his life, I believe he never saw it coming. I think if you would have walked up to David a week before this whole Bathsheba thing and said, "Hey, King David, do you ever think that do you see yourself becoming a murderer or an adulterer?" He'd be like, "No. That's not in my heart. There's no way. Who would do that? That's terrible." And we even see that kind of reaction from him when Nathan confronts him. He never saw it coming. And if I'm honest, as I think about David and not seeing it coming and what his response might have been, if I'm really honest, I think he probably said all the things that I would tend to say, that we tend to think when we talk about hidden desire. "Oh, no way. That's not in my heart. I would never do that. That's not the kind of person I am." But remember, we don't see our sin as well as we think we do. David, the man after God's own heart, didn't. And we don't either. We don't either. We don't understand, we don't grasp with the significance and the danger of subtle attitudes and habits little bits of unforgiveness. We don't wrestle with those things and understand them like we should. We can't discern how a little bit of lust or greed is really steering the course of our lives, meanwhile breaking the heart of God. We don't see it. We don't see it. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not here to say that the hidden sin or hidden desire in your life will emerge to make you cheat on your spouse and murder someone. But at the very same time, can you guarantee that it won't? David never saw it coming. You see, sin has that kind of power if it's left unchecked. It has that kind of power. And so the value, the opportunity of grace and mercy that is before you and I this morning is that we have the opportunity to ask the Lord now, today, to come and have a closer look at our lives for hidden sin, hidden desires, hidden disjointedness in our lives that is offensive to Him. We can ask Him to show us now before it grows out of control. Imagine how David's life might have been different. How would his life have been different if he would have prayed, "Lord, see if there's any offensive way in me," way back in Samuel? How would Bathsheba and Uriah's life been different? You see, the consequence of David's actions, he would face a lifetime of conflict and turmoil even within his own home. If he would have stopped and addressed hidden desire, he could have saved himself so much heartache and so many years. While David's life could have been different, the good news for you and I today is that your life can be different. Your life can be different today. As Beth and Joe make their way back up, David learned the danger of hidden sin the hard way, but we have an opportunity of grace before us to learn from him. To pray for ourselves, "Lord, will you come in and look close at my life? Show me anything that's upsetting, that is hurtful, that is sinful. Lord, come and see and show me and lead me in the way everlasting. Show me." So how about you today? How about you today? Will you invite the Lord to come in close, to see if there's anything offensive or hurtful in your life, any way that you're breaking His heart? Will you ask Him today? Hidden sin can be deadly, but it doesn't have to be. He will bring it to the light if you ask Him. If you ask Him. If you've been with us, you know that our rhythm throughout this series is that we first go to the Scriptures and seek to understand the petition, the prayer that David is offering, and then we spend time praying that for ourselves, and that's going to be our conclusion today. We're going to spend a few moments praying together, asking the Lord to uncover hidden sin, to search deep, to look closely, and then to reveal. To reveal anything that's hurtful to him, that's sinful, that's offensive. You might be wondering, so we pray this prayer and you can bet God's going to answer. What do we do with what he shows us, right? If he is faithful to answer and faithful to reveal, what do we do next? Thankfully, God's words gives us a clear path. The text is on the screen. 1 John 1, verses 8 through 9. What do we do after we pray and God begins to reveal, to impress upon our hearts ways that we're offending him, that we're breaking his heart? John says there, he says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." If we think it's not possible, If we think that we couldn't possibly be holding desires that are offensive to God or ways that are offensive to Him, we're kidding ourselves. So what do? We begin to think, yeah, it's a real possibility in my heart today. It's a real possibility. But what's John say in verse 9? He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we'll confess that sin, if when the Lord reveals something to you, something that's offensive to Him, rather than brushing it off or sweeping it under the rug or making an excuse, oh, it's just the way I've always been, well, everybody else does it. If we will turn away from that and just say, Lord, You're right. Spouses in the room, you know the hardest two words in your marriage is you were right. Three words. But friends, in our relationship with the Lord, that's confession. It's where we come into alignment with what He sees and what He says and say, You're right, and I'm sorry. So what do you do when God reveals things to you? Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that that's in my life. I'm sorry I've been breaking Your heart. Will You forgive me? Will You forgive me? The beautiful thing about this text is that John is pointing us to forgiveness, but also to purity. That as we pray and we seek the Lord in these places, that He's going to reveal us, He's going to forgive us, He's going to wipe the record clean, but He's also going to bring compassionate healing into your life. Are you ready to ask Him to search you, to see if there's any offensive way? Would you stand with me? I would invite you to pray aloud in your heart, but pray with humility and sincerity and listen to what the Lord reveals to you. It might not be in this moment. It might be on Wednesday on your drive to work. Don't pull a U-turn. But will you commit to the journey of praying and asking, Lord, see if there's any offensive way in me. And when He shows you, don't run, don't brush it off. Just say, God, You were right, and I'm sorry. Let's bow our heads this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank You that we can run to You, God. You, as You see us running, Lord, You already know the things that are hidden to us. But Lord, You don't turn Your back. You don't shun us away. Lord, You are eager to reveal to us those things in our life that are sinful, that are broken, that are hurting Your heart, Lord, that are leading to death. So God, we thank You for Your great, great mercy and compassion today. And Lord, Your honesty to call it like You see it, to call us out to see things the way You see them. Lord, Your perspective is perfect. And so, Lord, we know that we can trust You. We can trust You. And so, Lord, today we want to commit to praying now. See if there would be any offensive and hurtful way in me, Lord. Show me, Lord. May we as Your people be quick to repent, to seek forgiveness, to live differently as You reveal. Lord, see if there be any sinful way in me. Lord, I pray that we would not crowd out the voice of Your Spirit, but that we would listen in the quiet moments of this week, that You would bring our hearts back to this moment of prayer and petition. Lord, see if there's any offensive way in me. We don't want anything in our relationship that would separate us, God. That's what this is all about. So Lord, show us. Show us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.